The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, New Zealand, Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Tahiti. Listen out, keep focused, keep with us.
The winner by knockout, Carlos Olberg.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it. Hi, buddy! Bam! 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 Bow! Bow! Bow!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Oh yeah. We have started the podcast. That's how it begins.
What's this? What is this? Did I get stung? Did I get stung?
Matt Serra, shirtless. Because here's what's gonna happen. We have
I just buzzed myself the other day.
Yeah. You look very smooth.
Jimmy, yeah. Come on. Don't bullshit me.
You look good.
Don't start the show yet, seriously.
No. We'll start. We have three guests today. We got to plow right ahead.
One is now. In
the waiting room. No, it's already started. I mean, you without a shirt going blow, bam, that's the beginning of the show. Because Matt, we were going to start a minute ago, but Matt came in, and I do get it. You have those... Because you hung a t-shirt on a hanger and those little fucking pointy cat ears in the shoulders. I also, that drives me nuts when I have that. So I kind of get it.
And you wanted me to leave it on.
Yes, I did. Yes.
And that's kind of rude.
I would have pointed it out to every guest.
You would. I know you. I knew that you were going to do that. So I wasn't taking your bait, Jimmy. I feel comfortable now, though.
The Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs with the UFC, Mark Ratner. Let's bring Mark in. What a nice surprise to have him. He was a late schedule, and we're really happy we have him. He's promoting a new book. It's called Ringside, My Life Outside the Ropes and the Octagon. Really interesting guy who has been with the UFC for many years, former executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. He knows everything that goes on behind the scenes, and you can't go to a fight without seeing him there.
Mark, how are you, buddy?
Good, Matt. I'm delighted to talk with you.
I'm so happy to see. I was just telling everybody. And by the way, this is my friend Jimmy. I don't know if you met Jimmy.
We've met you. Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, I don't know. I know Mark since he came on board. And I remember how excited, like, Lorenzo and Dana were that to have Mark coming on board because he was such a legit, respected person in his field. Like, you know what I mean? So... And that feels like ages ago. When was that, Mark? When did you get on board?
16 years plus.
And when you were with the Nevada Athletic Commission, what did you do with them? And what was your decision making where you're like, I think I want to leave and actually work for the UFC?
I did all the day-to-day stuff, signing officials, approving matches, everything that you would think in boxing, weighing them in. And Lorenzo was a commissioner at one time with the Athletic Commission. And he said, have you ever thought about leaving? And I said, no, I've got the best regulatory job in the world of any boxing commission. And so he said, well, we'll talk about it some more. I might have some opportunity. And so Lorenzo was sort of a salesman, but he brought the closer in Dana. So that was it. It was May of 2006. And I still love going to boxing, but... I'm delighted and thrilled to be with the UFC.
Can I just say, at that time, 2006, for the people listening now, it was a different time for the sport. That's why I feel it was kind of, I don't know the offer you had to come over, but it was kind of brave because the sport wasn't nearly as respected as it is now. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I had a lot of boxing people tell me I was making the biggest mistake in my career and you don't know what you're doing. Now, all these years later, they said, you were pretty smart.
I have a question about the Athletic Commission because there's so much criticism of the judging and the inconsistency in what the judges look for. Like you'll see 30-27 in opposite directions. And I'm always, I don't understand how two judges can see it completely differently. Is there anything the Athletic Commission can do to remedy that or anything that can be done to make that more consistent?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Friday, we're going to have a meeting with the actual broadcasters from the USA, different broadcasters with judges and referees going over some of the criteria. It's not really with the Athletic Commission, though we've invited them. But we have some inconsistencies. And one of my problems is I can train a lot of guys here, but when we go to Texas or something, those guys aren't trained as well. Or in Singapore, and to make it consistent worldwide is certainly our big goal.
Yeah, and is it almost like the example I've used is in baseball, certain umpires will call a low strike zone, certain guys will have an expanded strike zone. Is that kind of how it is with judges, where some guys just put more value in ground control and other guys put more visible damage?
They shouldn't, but they right. do. And the first criteria really is I don't like to use the word damage, but something you can really see and that you've imposed your will. Certainly the striking is very important, but the ground control comes into play. There's different criteria, and we just got to keep on working on the consistency. And it's better than it was maybe 10 years ago, but it's still not where we want it.
You think more former fighters should become judges? You think that could help?
It could. It's a tough road. We have in California, Frank Trigg is actually refereeing a lot now, and he's done pretty well. But it takes years. It's you just can't go from the cage and start judging. It's not that easy. You have to put your time in, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that. But I encourage it absolutely.
When you mean by putting your time in, is what are they, the judges? What do they have to go through?
Maybe some amateur events,
yeah.
Some lower level. You can't just start in the UFC.
Obviously.
And they have to get some experience. And they have to go to some of these training sessions, whether it's with Herb Dean or McCarthy or that kind of stuff, and just get in more involved and watch a lot of video.
And also, and now as the Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs at the UFC, what exactly does that job entail?
Well, it started out for me going with other people state to state to get the sport approved. In 2006, we had around 20 states, and we had to go to different legislators and different athletic commissions, and one by one, we were able to get the sport approved, and it took us 8 years in New York, so that was our big, tough market. But now it's approved in every state and a lot of foreign countries too. So we've done very well getting it approved.
What was the holdup? Because I live in New York, so I was so frustrated with it's just bureaucracy. And it looks like one of the guys who was the biggest holding you guys back, turned out to be a fairly corrupt individual. What exactly was it in New York that just took so long? Is it just the bureaucracy?
Partially the bureaucracy, but the important part was Lorenzo and Frank Petito owned a casino called Stations Casino, a whole bunch of them that were not part of the culinary union, that they hadn't been organized. And their sister union in New York, the hotel workers union there, wouldn't let us get a vote. It was about that. And with politics either at its best or its worst, and we just couldn't get a vote from this proven to be corrupt Speaker of the House. And once he left, we had a vote in the House, and it was approved in 2016, 114-26. So we always had the vote. We just couldn't get it.
Mark, I wanted to talk to you about this, my friend. Ringside, My Life Outside the Ropes and the Octagon by Mark Ratner. Now, tell us, is this your life story?
It's my combat story with a little part of my my life too. But as you know, Endeavor, they bought the UFC, and they have one of their companies is called William Morris.
Yes.
And their people have said, hey, you have a lot of stories. You should write them. And I said, well, if you guys will publish it and find me a co-author to help me, I don't care about the proceeds from it, then I'll do it. And it took us about 6 months of a lot of talking and going over with the writer. And then we actually finished it last January, and here we are. So it's just more, I wanted to do it for my family and my friends. I'm not trying to be a bestseller. It turned out very well. I'm very happy with it. A lot of good boxing stories and a lot of MMA stuff.
Isn't it crazy? Like with boxing too, like, cause I love boxing as a kid. I loved it. And then just so many things around it, maybe because I like UFC so much, I don't watch boxing anymore, but some of the decisions in boxing, I can't enjoy the sport anymore. I feel like the behind the scenes stuff has taken away any enjoyment I can have of boxing anymore.
Well, the biggest problem is the best fighters at the peak of their careers don't fight each other. And that really hurts the sport in my estimation. With the heavyweights doing better now, and with Fury, and who I hope is not retired, and Joshua, when the heavyweights are good, you know, the whole sport does better. But now you have all these great Earl Spences and Bud Crawfords. There's a lot of great fighters right now. And if they fight each other, the sport will do very, very, very well. And that's what we're hoping.
Is it because of the many different promoters? Because like I say to the board and everyone how great UFC is at getting the fights you want to see. I mean, they 90% of the time, if you start thinking like, fuck, that'd be a great fight, they make it happen. I mean, we've seen so many incredible matchups. And you wonder, is it because they're under one promotional roof? Is that one of the big problems in boxing?
In boxing, yes. Different promoters won't work with each other. Different TV networks don't want to have their best fighter fight on another network. There is no national commission that could make it work, that would make it better. But I just think it's real important for the guys to fight each other at the right time. Obviously, Mayweather is one of the best I've ever seen, but it took him 5 years to fight Pacquiao, and it should have happened 5 years before that. That's what I look for.
When was the first time you've seen a mixed martial arts event? I know when you got approached, were you already familiar with the sport? Or
at one time I went on a Larry King show with Senator McCain on against Ken Shamrock and Meyerowitz, and said, here's a sport that says no rules, no holds barred, anything goes. And I said, this is on national TV. I said, well, you can't have a sport and regulate it if they don't have any rules.
Yeah.
So in 2001, with the New Jersey Commission, we were able to come up with the unified rules. And then the Nevada Athletic Commission approved the sport and later in 2001. And our first fight that I saw in person was Tito Ortiz and the latter Matashenko, I believe is how you say his name.
Yes. Oh, UFC, was that UFC? That was UFC, wait, UFC 33. Was that in Vegas?
What a memory, Matt, if that's right. What a memory you have.
I fought on the card versus Eve Edwards.
It was
right after 9/11, wasn't it, Mark Ryder?
Yes, right after 9/11.
It was a ghost town there.
And the fight went long. The only time it's ever gone long, and some of the satellites went off.
And not only that, on the undercard, Jimmy, Dean Thomas fought Fabiana Iha. I'm going to give him that shout out. And the undercard was excellent. A lot of good fights, stoppages. Every fight on the main card went the distance.
Right.
Jens Holmer versus Dennis Holman. It's crazy. It's a long time ago. But I remember because I fought on the card. Myself versus Eve Edwards, we went the distance. So they ended up going over, and it was a disaster. I remember they were very upset, you know?
Our first big show, and it went wrong, and people got thrown out of the main event. So that wasn't good.
Yeah, it sucks. That really stinks. Are you a because I'm amazed with behind the scenes guys, because you guys make everything happen that we enjoy watching, and I'm such an impatient impulsive person? Like, are you a patient guy? Like, are you good at dealing with the red tape and the nonsense that you have to deal with to move the sport forward? Is that just in your nature that you're very good at that stuff?
Yes. That has to, you have to be patient, because every fight card, there's craziness that happens in the back, and some guy doesn't want to get wrapped right, or doesn't like the person who's wrapping him, or he forgot his mouthpiece. There's always little small things. And yeah, we're constantly putting out fires. But no, I think I learned in boxing that anything can happen. I had a guy fly into the ring one time. I had the bite fight. So I'm not used to it, but I'm able to handle it.
Wait, the guy fly into the ring, was that that famous guy who parachuted in?
Yeah, the Fan Man. And it's what he was called. And it's nothing in the rule book. It's, what do you do now? But I did know enough to go to the timekeeper and find out how much time was left in the round. And that was a surreal night.
What fight was that? Was that, I'm thinking Riddick Bowe. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Holyfield Bowe.
Oh, Holyfield Bowe. Wow. Yeah, that I would say that's something that's probably you're never going to see again. What do you think? Because UFC seems to be doing everything right. Like, I mean, the sport is massive now. There's events every week. What's something you would like to see UFC take further than they've already taken it, or do a little bit better than they've done it to take it further?
Well, what I'm looking forward to is some new frontiers. I think you'll see the UFC go to South Africa someday, and Johannesburg maybe. We're going to Paris in September. Or it's going to keep growing, and you have to have these international fights. And it's just a worldwide sport, and I think we do a real good job. The matchmakers are fabulous to be able to even uncover some of these people. And they're on 24-hour calls. I always feel bad for Mick and Sean because their phones never stop. So there's always room for improvement, and they'll talk about judging. There's always going to be also some medical discoveries. We can find out better things, maybe a better mouthpiece. We're looking at that kind of stuff. Maybe something in the gloves make it better so you don't have eye pokes. That's all we're looking at in the future.
What could they possibly do about that? Joe talks about that a lot when he's calling fights. And what could they do to possibly allow you to have the grips you need to have and allow, you know, like to peel fingers apart when you're getting strangled and still protect from eye pokes? How could they possibly do that?
That's a big problem, absolutely, because you'd have to use your fingers to grapple. So maybe a little more curved. But we're experimenting now and trying to find a little more flexible glove. But you're right. You got to be able to use your fingers. And we try to make it where the referee says you can't go straight. Back. And we still have eye pokes probably once every fight card.
And what do you feel about open scoring? And like, I have mixed feelings about it. Like, I like the excitement of a split decision and you don't know. But I also think fighters knowing where they're at, fighting is the only sport where the fighters don't know where they're at until the end.
I am not a proponent for it, but you said something I really believe in. The most iconic moment in the sport is Michael or Bruce Buffer, and you're waiting at your feet, hearing that, and either new or still, it's a real special moment. The one thing I would advise all cornermen, never say you're up three rounds or you're up two rounds. Always say, I mean, this is a close fight. You better fight that third round. You better fight that fifth round. But right now, I am not in favor of it.
I agree totally on everything you said right there. It does. That moment alone.
Yeah.
You're watching it. People will be headed to their cars way before that. They're not going to listen for anything. They're going to be, you know what I mean? They're like, all right, we know. And even if there's a chance of the guy coming back, and you want to be talking to your friend saying, oh, he had to have won that round. Oh, no. You want that kind of banter and confusion. I don't know. At least I do. It's part of the event. You don't want to know every. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea at all.
Well, I don't believe we're going to do it as a UFC, and I'm against it, and I've been a proponent against it. And just as a quick aside, one of the big things I'm for, this is in boxing, is all women's fights can go 3-minute rounds. If our women can go 5-minute rounds, you can't tell me that women should still be fighting 2-minute rounds. So that's, I'm an advocate for that.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize they were 2-minute. They were 2-minute rounds. I didn't realize that. Yeah, it is. It's funny with the UFC, with the women's divisions too. The amount of stars in the few years since Ronda, you know, Rose and Amanda, and there's just so many Cyborg, and there's so many incredibly dynamic female fighters too. And I think they've done a better job at that than boxing too. And I could just be ignorant, I don't watch boxing, but I think the UFC has done a much better job of making really famous female fighters and really, really high profile female fighters than boxing has done recently.
And completely equal, paid the same. If they can sell pay-per-view, if they can be charismatic, Ronda proves it. So we try to treat them equal. And boxing just had a big women's event at Madison Square Garden that sold well, but it should have been 3 minute round.
And your book, let's promote your book, Ringside: My Life Outside the Ropes and Octagon. When you look at it, did you get like a good feeling when you look at like a box of your own books and you're like, shit, this is really like a book? Like when you get a box of them and it's like you realize, wow, this is a finished product I've written. I mean, it's got to feel great.
Yeah, because it's something I never considered. But more importantly, I think for me, my kids are happy, friends, and certainly a G-rated book. It was fun. And the co-writer did a fabulous job of marshaling my thoughts, because I couldn't sit down longhand and just write it out or on the computer. So that was a big help.
Thank you so much for being here today. Congratulations on the book. You're so good for the UFC and for the sport. And I really appreciate everything you've done to help further the sport. And you know, especially in New York, obviously selfishly I say that, but you're a legend, and we appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Matt. Are you both going to be at our Hall of Fame and all our stuff next week?
Hey, Mark, and not to depress you, but next week I'm getting a knee replacement, bro.
Oh, okay.
A knee replacement, Mark. They got to put me back together, but I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. But so I'll be out of commission a little bit.
A real Hall of Fame man, and the biggest underdog that I've ever seen to have the biggest win I've ever seen. So
you've always been great, Mark. I always love running into you when I'm on the road. Good, great. Hey, congrats again on the book.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mark Ratner mentioned that his book is G-rated. If you had a book, it'd be fucking probably X-rated, you little pervert.
That's not very nice. And I do have two books, and they are X-rated.
Yeah.
You're right, Matt. Good call. Can't sue you for slander.
Oh, shit. They are, aren't they?
Very naughty. Yeah, very dirty language.
What are they? Tell me about your books really quick. We got time.
They're just, it's like blog-style stories about getting laid and, you know, just very dirty, very naughty. I don't know if there's any UFC. They were written so many years ago. Like, they were actually published in 2007, 2008. But a lot of the stories I had written like 45 years before that.
Any regrets?
Yeah, there's some regrets in life. Sure, like all of us.
No,
I mean,
regrets doing this, putting it in the book. And
oh, no. I don't care about that. I've talked about it on stage. No regrets. I don't give a shit. Nah. Not at all. It's all silly stuff, and none of it's different. Like I say, if it's got a name, it means someone's done it already. So, no, I have no regrets about that at all. But I'm really looking forward to this. It's crazy. This is how good the lightweight division is. I think one is 11 and one is 12. I believe Sarukian's 11 and Gamrot is 12. But Gamrot is 22. He's 20-1, and he's still ranked 12th, and Sarukian is 18-2. So these guys between them are 38-1-1, I believe. So 38-1, 3-1. So what a great card this is. And I'm also looking forward very much to the main event of the undercard, which is Ullberg against Tufan Chukwi, who's had a tremendous win over Mike Rodriguez. But Sarukian, I feel like he's only been, his first fight was 2016 in the UFC, I think. I don't know what I'm thinking. I can just look at it.
Pronounce his latest name for me.
Armand Sarukian.
Sarukian?
Yes.
Say it again.
Armand Sarukian.
Sarukian?
Yeah, yep.
That's from Street Fighter 2. I did not
know that.
I was doing like Ryu when he does that.
Oh.
Thank you.
I like it. There you go.
Do you appreciate it more now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like, I appreciate your fucking Christopher Walken.
Oh, Matt, you got little pointy things on your shirt sleeves. Oh.
You're not even trying now.
Yes, I am. I do them all. I do an impression of anybody. Very good.
Do me.
Jimmy!
Okay, you got me. You got me, buddy. That's me. I'm loud.
That was a good one. Matt, today's right now. Hold on. This is the 22nd. What day do you go in for surgery?
Next week, man. I'll do the show with you on Monday.
Okay.
Tuesday, bro.
Oh, wow.
Under the knife. I'm coming home the same day. I think the same day type of shit, which is crazy.
It's good. I'm glad you're doing it. I know it's a big move, but you're better off.
Like, you'll be feeling all right, like walking out of that type of thing, because they put like a nerve blocker in or something, whatever they say. But like, don't get fooled. The next morning, you'll be like, ah.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be a little bit of a recovery.
The way I look at it is like this. Like, I'm 48. A lot of really old people that get this shit done. You understand? You don't give a fuck. You're pouring your tea.
I'm listening.
Listen, Joe, sorry. Jimmy, my point is this. There's a lot of people in their 70s and 80s getting this shit done. I mean, who knows if they're bitching or not, but they're old people. I'm not that old, Jimmy. I'm gonna bounce right back. My orthopedic guy, my guy, he's gonna, my PT guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Amato. He's gonna be I met him through Raging Al in Vellante. Nice guy, you know. And we went to this before Vellante and Al fought at Madison Square Garden. Longo, Keith, it was Keith Trimble from Belmore Kickboxing. You know, me, Al, Vellante, and this guy, Doc Amato. We went to this place in, like, I believe it was somewhere in, like, Manhattan. I don't know if it was the Village. I don't know where it was, but it was one of these Italian places where, you know, there's no sign. It looks like somewhere where somebody's going to get whacked. It looks like a place that needs to get renovated. And it's lying outside the block, lying outside where you got to, I forgot the name of it. But so Al knows the fucking, the owner's sons. I should know the name of this place. It was so fucking, the bread I had in this place. The best bread I ever had in my life. It was like that, I don't know if it's the focaccia bread. It's like the soft fucking, but
yeah. Dude, not the bukkake bread. Not bukkake bread. You don't want that. That's good. It's got butter all over it.
That's so gross, Jimmy. I love a nice bread. Jimmy, he's a young man. Armin.
He's 25 or 26. He's a very young guy. 25. Yes, it's fucking crazy. It's crazy. He's devastating, too.
Who's Carlos fighting?
Ullberg is fighting Tufan Chukwi. Yes, it's the main fight. I believe it's the final fight, the main fight of the undercard. He is 11 is Sarukian is 11, and Gamrot is 12. What an 20-1 with one no contest, and Sarukian is 18-2, and it really is crazy the amount of, because these are not the two biggest names in the UFC, and yet these guys between them have 38 wins. It's incredible how much talent is in that lightweight division. I was looking at it before. By the way, what do you think of Oliveira against his loss is to Makhachev? That was the loss that one of the losses Sarukian had was to Islam Makhachev. But he fought him on short notice and he lost the decision. But what do you think of him against Oliveira?
Islam versus Oliveira?
Yeah.
Oh shit, man! I said it. This is the same reason why I want either Islam or Benil Darush to fight Charles Oliveira yet. Because they're not going to be afraid to follow him to the floor.
Right.
And it's the biggest thing we have yet to see. You know what I mean? I mean, Paul Felder fought out of shit and ended up ground and pounding him. You know what I mean? So, you know, back in the day, he fought out of some really bit tough submissions and ended up beating him up. So
who?
Charles Oliveira, when he fought.
Oh, Oliveira. Okay. So I think you're talking about Makhachev. Okay.
No, Oliveira, when he fought Paul Felder. Yeah. Paul, he had Paul Felder in some trouble, but Paul Felder gutted it out and ended up beating him up on the flip.
Paul Felder's a weird fucking tank animal, though. He's a frightening guy.
Well, I mean, so are these other guys. So, I mean, yeah. He has a phenomenal grapplers. I mean, yeah, no, Paul is. I'm not downplaying it. Paul, I love Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's a beast. You know what I mean?
Him against Raging Al, I will still never forgive the universe for that not happening.
I was with Raging Al last night, man. It was so great. My buddy Marcel got his black. I gave him his black belt. You know.
Oh, I saw the video. That's nice. Yes,
he's a great kid. He's been.
That's great. Did he know he was getting it, or did he have a feeling?
He didn't know. I don't think he knew he was getting it.
You got a lot of people there too, Matt. You got a lot of people at that school.
You know what it was? My buddy Sean Williams, Enzo Gracie black belt. I know that guy close to 30 years. He was doing a body lock guard passing seminar at my school. So when I have like a seminar at my school and it's a good crowd, that's when I like to do some promotions. So I gave out some black belts that day. So guys that have been with me for close to a decade, if not longer. Like Marcel's been with me.
Well, I went.
Or if not more.
I saw Marcel's, I want to say, is his Instagram. And he has in his profile, it says Matt Serra black belt. Okay. So he's very proud of being a Matt Serra black belt. That's nice.
Yeah, that makes me happy. You know, a lot of guys, they put the time in, man. A lot of training. And with jiu-jitsu especially, because, you know, it's not like you're the fucking hammer every day. You're going to be, especially at my school, you go with fucking guys that are, you got to be the nail on a lot of occasions. And it takes a lot of perseverance. So it's nice. It's a nice thing to achieve. And again, great guy. Like, so last night, a bunch of my black belts and my students, we went to a place called Big Daddy's here in Long Island.
And oh, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was like, you know what it was? It was like a Southern food thing. So I'd prefer if it was like, you know,
Italian or pizza. Yeah.
And that's what I like, Jimmy.
So was like, it weird going to a place called Big Daddy's when the unofficial name of our podcast is Daddy and the Lad?
Is our guest here yet? Or no.
Not yet, happy. No. I'm he might so be having happy. Technical issues.
I'm happy I'm on the Panini card, though.
I'm so happy, too. I was looking at that all day yesterday and on Monday. I didn't exaggerate when I said those fucking Panini cards with our faces on them made me really happy. And they really are a great company. So I hope that people go out and buy those cards and try to get the fan experience. I think it's at 278. Don't quote me because I'm stupid and I don't have it in front of me.
You know, I'm not into like really like anime, so to speak, but I do like some cool like R-rated cartoons. Like if they're like not for really so much of kids because they're kind of like, they make references to the sex and there's violence and shit. So on Amazon, I like Amazon. They get these like, Amazon, it gets like a little like weird shows that are a little like different.
Yes.
I just got my Amazon back on my iPad. And I just texted this to my brother-in-law, Edwin, because he likes all that stuff. And the Legend of Vox Machina. How do you pronounce this? Vox Machina. Machina?
M-A-C-H-I-N-A?
Yeah.
Machina, I guess. I don't know.
Vox Machina. Vox Machina. I'm fucking it up. The Legend of Vox Machina.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's violent. Yeah. It almost starts like almost like a Lord of the Rings type thing.
Yeah.
And then they're just getting their heads blown off. And I'm like, oh, my, like chopped and smushed. And I go, oh, my God, this is violent. And then they're showing some like, then they have this little dwarf like going down on like a girl. I'm like, whoa, yeah, like an elf. Interesting.
Yeah.
What is this?
What, buddy?
I don't know. You're not listening to me.
But, yes, I am.
It was a fucking, it was a good show. I was telling you about a little dwarf eating out an elf, and you're like, what, buddy? I'm telling you. And I said that specifically for you. Anyway, I don't know. If you like weird like cartoons, I kind of like that.
I'm not a big animation guy. I don't hate it, but I never really watch it. I'm sure that one sounds good, but I don't watch a lot of them.
Yeah, it's not bad. you know.
By the way, I was thinking of, I got caught in a momentary loop. I was thinking of Ullberg, who is coming on shortly, we hope. And he trains in at City Kickboxing in New Zealand. And so, of course, I believe he trained a little with Adesanya, Carlos Ullberg.
Every time somebody hears somebody's from some New Zealand, that's where they train.
Yeah. It's an incredible school. And so I was looking at 276 and the what a staggeringly good, and I know we're promoting Gamrat Tsarukyan here, but Adesanya Cannonier, what do you think of that fight?
Well, I mean, I think Cannonier, you know, he had that tough fight. Was it Whittaker, Robert Whittaker, when he bruised his ulnar nerve? So, dude, I know what a slight to fight with that, man. So, even the fight through that and go how many reps, that go to distance, that did go to distance. I believe it did, yeah.
I can so check.
Fight since. Yeah, 100% it did. It did, okay. But he had to do that with a bruised ulnar nerve. So that almost feels like you have like a ghost arm, like you can't feel your hands. It's like a dead arm.
Right.
Yeah.
How long does it last for?
Oh, dude, I had a loss in sensation after my second Georges Pierre fight for like months.
Oh my God. Oh, so it doesn't come back in between rounds.
Oh, okay. No, that shit's not coming back. Oh, let's go. Hey, Ullberg is ready to go.
Yes. Carlos Ullberg. Let's talk to him.
Let's get to know him. I was about to sing it.
Well, you could have.
Let's get to know Carlos Ullberg. No, you ruined it. I had it good before.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We were just talking about you, and you trained a little with Adesanya too for his Canada fight. You helped him get ready.
Yes, yeah.
And what do you think of this fight? Obviously, you're worried about your own fight right now, and I know that Adesanya is your pick because you guys train together. But what do you think of Cannonier and what he's managed to do in the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, Cannonier he's a developing fighter. He's fought in different divisions, and he's had that experience with different. With the different body types and all that, so yeah, Israel's been working, and he's he's a quick learner. So we've got a massive gym we've got a big stable of fighters or athletes. So he's had different looks, and I've definitely been given him his best. Just to give each other work. So he's definitely confident in what he's going to do, and I have full confidence in Israel. And we know his game and where his strengths are. So I see him picking him apart, man, and definitely causing a struggle for Cannonier and Cannonier walking into something, with his mistakes that he might create. So yeah,
well. Can I just start off, Carlos? Carlos, nice to meet you. First.
Hey, man. How are you?
I want to apologize. I want to apologize for my friend Jimmy here. Jimmy, yeah. I don't give a shit. I love Israel Adesanya. He gets a lot of attention. I don't give a fuck about that. It's Carlos's time right now. I want to know about Carlos. The first question you ask about his fucking best friend who's the champion of the world. It's
yes.
Carlos' time right now, man.
Now, hold on, Carlos. Let me explain.
Sorry, I didn't see that, Carlos.
We were reading and just talking before you came on about you training with Israel. And I was actually looking at the 276 card. I kind of got distracted. So when you step in, it's the logical extension of the conversation we were having. Kind of ask you about that, of course. But no, we're not saying goodbye. All right, thanks. He answered our question. Goodbye.
How rude of you. How could you ask such a question when it's so, you know, we've got, how much time we got? We got half enough.
Plenty of time.
Yes. Jimmy, I'm sorry. You did the right thing.
Yeah. Okay. Then I want to talk about Volkanovski for a half hour. All right. No.
Carlos,
I love Volk, man. He's awesome. He's such a great, Volk is a great addition to our team. I went over to help him out with his last camp with who's the guy he fought last? The Korean, the zombie.
Oh, Korean zombie. Yeah.
And I have such respect for, I hold such high respect for Volkanovski. He's teaching classes and then he's doing, this is during his camp. And then he's at the gym teaching classes and then he's in his camp doing his own training. And then he goes home, you know. For me, I'm focused on me and I'm doing my camp. I'm going to training. Then I'm at home. Then I'm, you know, going to training at home. I'm doing that thing. So for him to be going to the gym, taking classes, and then doing his training and all that is, you know, I could high respect for him. So
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Were you about to ask him about Dan Hooker, or could I ask him?
I wanted to ask about coming off a loss, but you ask a question, and then I'll ask this one.
Now, listen, I just want to get to know Carlos. We don't have to get him under these bright lights, Carlos. Listen, you're 31 now. What got you started in the arts? What was your first discipline you got started, and how old were you when you got started?
Wonderful. I was, how old was I? I was about 22, 23, I'd say, when I started boxing. And because I was a rugby player and I was semi-professional rugby player. And I did it I was quite good at it. And it wasn't until I got banned for fighting in this on the field, and there was a 6-week ban, and this was during a time of me wanting to get picked for a draft, and I was like, you know, how am I going to fill my time 6 weeks off? What am I going to do? You know, so I went and trained, did some boxing, and I ended up getting a fight later on, and this is where I fell in love with. I actually really enjoy this boxing, and I had my hand raised, and you know that feeling of winning. It's like I could do this again. So from there, I continued.
Do you like the solo? Like a lot of guys that come from team sports, whether it's with the NFL or other sports, when they come from a team sport, and then now everything rests on you, everything wrong and everything right. Do you like that more?
It is definitely taught me so much more. I've learned a lot because I've learned to do life really. And it's kind of thrown itself at me right in the face, and I've learned to deal with it in that sense. So with a team, it's like, okay, I've got 14 other guys because we have 15 on the field, 14 other guys who, you know, will be able to back me up if I do something wrong. And it's not so much of the pressure of, you know, if you jump in the cage, it's like, okay, it's just me and you. How am I going to win? How am I going to win on this fight? And especially, you know, when you're being televised and you want to get to the top level. So, especially in the past years, I've learned a lot about how to become a better athlete. And this is just being a soul athlete. So yeah, man, the difference is just, it's astonishing. So
when you walked into that boxing gym, is that the first time you threw a punch? Did you know, did you ever like mess around as a kid? Did you ever like hit the bag or have anybody hold mitts?
I was a street fighter, man. I was a street fighter. I fought a lot on the street. I grew up in what we called the hood in New Zealand. And, I fought a lot on the street. And it was because we just had to fend for ourselves, or we just wanted to create fun for us. It was fun, you know?
Yeah.
So we fought against each other. We are friends, our own friends. We created a fight club in amongst the school. After school, we'd go and have punch ups. So it was just something to create a bit of fun. And that was, and the same thing, you know, like I jump in the octagon and I feel like it's fun for me. So, especially when you know what you're doing now, instead of like just throwing haymakers everywhere. And also understanding that it's something that can create a career and money for yourself.
And how did you rebound? I mean, you rebounded obviously well. The Nzechukwu fight, which was your first loss, but that was a really competitive fight. I mean, he's very durable and very tough, and so are you. Like, that was a great, great fight. And then you came back and you won a decision after that, which was great. But did that affect your mentality at all after that? Because sometimes when guys take their first loss, it affects them a little bit, or did it not affect you at all?
It didn't affect me too much. I mean, if anything, it helped me. I sat back and I said, okay, well, maybe I can't just rely on my what I'm good at. Maybe I need to work on some things that I'm not good at, so that I could, you know, if it comes to a situation like this, then I need to, you know, be better on the ground and, you know, start taking them down, start getting to places where I'm uncomfortable with. So this taught me to get better at different martial arts.
How did you take to the grappling compared to the striking? Was it hard?
I enjoy the grappling, man. I enjoy grappling. I really do. Because I'm a rugby player, we do a lot of grappling in rugby. So it just came second nature to me to be good at grappling. It's just because I feel more comfortable striking. That's just where I'm at. But if I have to go to the ground, then I'm quite comfortable there.
What do you mean you do a lot of grappling with rugby? Is that like the equivalent of like a football tackle? Is that I'm asking. I'm not too familiar with rugby. I know it's like kind of like football with the helmets off type of thing. I know it's rough as fuck, but
yeah.
I'm not too familiar with the rules. What do you mean by you're familiar with the grappling?
Well, yeah, well, because rugby is more of you might get into one-on-one positions where you're holding and you're trying to either if you're on the opposition or if you're on the attack or defense side. If you're on attack, you're trying to push guys off, fend them, push them off, and you're really trying to push through their line and get through them. Or if you're on the defense side, you're trying to hold them down, keep them down for a amount of seconds or so. So I was quite strong growing up playing rugby. So, you know, with going into learning with wrestling, just understanding the technical sides of it helped me so much, because I knew I had the muscle formula there, but I just needed some technique to help create it for me. So just being able to put that all together is quite the one.
And also rugby. Oh, sorry, Matt. Rugby. You're using your legs so much. Is that one of the reasons that you kick so well? Because they're saying that you kick harder than anybody at that gym. And I love guys that utilize their legs the way you do.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I have no idea where that came about. But yeah, it's just, I guess it's just because I got long legs, man. Long legs. So.
Now, how is the concussion situation with the rugby? Like, I know, like, football players, I mean, they were getting concussed left and right, and it's a big problem. People talk about CTE and all this stuff. You know, what is it like with the rugby? Is that a problem over there or no?
It's not too, I guess, because football, they lead with your head a lot. And right. I guess because, you know, you've got the helmet, they're not so wide about, so you just get concussed so easily. But in saying that, I have been concussed twice, but this is just me putting my head in the wrong position, like going straight to someone's knee or straight to someone's hip. So it's not too much of it, because we try to turn our heads and lead with our shoulders more. So I guess that, like, it's not too much of a problem, but it is an issue. But
I mean, also in football too, sorry, man. In football, a lot of times during practice, they're banging heads. It's like every play in practice too. It's not just the games. So yeah, football is really bad. I think because just what they do in practice, it's almost like having full contact sparring every day. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I imagine so.
What else though? Now, Carlos, let me ask you, Carlos. When you're not training, what are you doing? What do you like? What kind of hobbies you like? Let's get to know you a little bit.
Hobbies.
You're a movie guy. You're a
life, man. But my hobby is life. My hobby is life. I love learning. I love learning so much. Like, I love learning different things. So reading is one thing that I love to do. So it's yeah, I guess it's just if anything comes my way. At the moment, I'm learning a bit about agriculture because we have such a great agricultural field in New Zealand that I want to get into that. And I want to sort of, yeah, because, you know, I want to own farms and then eventually be able to create that in my life. So, but that's one thing on the plate, but then there's other little things that I just want to learn. And, you know, yeah, hiking, that's another thing, because New Zealand has such good geographical nature. So it's, we've got such a big vast of mountains in New Zealand. So I love to hike a lot. Yeah, and just, yeah, a lot, man.
That's it, man. That's nice, dude. What was the last nice book? What's the last good book you read?
At the moment, I'm just reading the Cell at the moment. This one here.
The Secrets of Selling Anything to Anyone.
Ah. Yeah. And obviously, well, I'm always reading this one, sure. Always.
The Art of War.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're Carlos. You're the type of guy that you like bettering yourself like every day, right? That's what it feels like.
I think that's the key. The key is just to learn as much as you can, as like yourselves, I'm sure, and because you're talking to a lot of people and you're learning so much about other people and you're learning for yourselves too. So, yeah, I love to learn, man. I think that's the key of life.
I admire that, Jimmy. I feel like a sloth. I'm just going to play video games and do some jiu-jitsu later. I should. You make me want to pick up a book or something, Carlos. I feel. Shit, Jimmy?
A book on tape, maybe. I'll be honest. My attention has gotten so bad. I haven't really read a book in a long time, but books on tape, I can get through them now because I guess you. Yeah, I'm not patient enough to read anymore. So I'll put it in. I'm on the treadmill or whatever. I'll listen to it. But you're able to focus and just kind of be patient and read.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the thing is like being able to, like you say, just focus is one thing because I wasn't a good – I never read as a kid. And once I learned to read, it was like you can keep your eye on something for such a long time or just keep your focus on something for such a long time that it's part of the journey of being able to, that's part of my fight camp. This is something that I'll put an hour aside just to either read or even listen to because, hey, as men, we're not good listeners. So I like to sort of vary my ideas every now and then. So if I can sit down and listen to a podcast or listen to a book as well, I just keep my focus into that. So that's part of my training.
Hey, listen, I admire that. You know what I don't like? This is one of my peeves. I don't like when people are like, oh, I read five books. I read this book. Oh, you do? Yeah, well, I listened to it. I'm like, no, then you didn't read it, asshole. You fucking listen. Any asshole can listen to a book, but not everybody's going to read five books. So stop jumping on the book reading thing when you're listening to it. Jimmy.
It doesn't matter. No, that's not true. It doesn't matter how it gets in there. So what are you saying? That blind people can't get knowledge? It doesn't matter how you get the knowledge in there.
Prepare yourself to blind people, you lazy fuck. Listen to me.
It doesn't matter how you get in. I can't read anymore. I'm too busy watching porn.
I agree, yeah. And I'm not attacking you. But I am saying this. Don't tell me you read the fucking book. Say you heard the audio. I got in there. It got in there with your ears, your audio book.
But it doesn't matter how it gets
in
there.
It doesn't matter. Tell me you read the fucking book. You didn't read the book.
I did say I listened. I say I listened? I even said to Carlos, well, that's great that you can read because I can only do books on tape. So I didn't claim reading.
I'm putting my sword away. Carlos, no, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I love you guys, man.
I apologize for Matt's inconsistent because I did say that I listened to the books. I specifically said that. It would be different.
I didn't say you. I said right. People do say that. They say they read the book when they listen. So I'm going to listen to a lot of these books.
All right. Kai Kara France, does he read a lot? We're just going to go back. Hey, man, look, you have a great fight coming up. The main event of the prelims. So again, whenever that's obviously a fight they always believe in. Chukwi is a very tough fighter. as you know. But I'm looking forward to this a lot. I've been a fan since you know, seeing you on the Contender Series, that devastating knockout of Oliveira. So look, good luck on Saturday, man. You're really an exciting fighter, and I'm sure you're going to be around for a long time.
Cheers, Jimmy. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again on the other side of it.
Guys, made me laugh. I came in with a headache. I had a throbbing headache, but with you guys just making me laugh a bit just made me feel so much better. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, man. That's just because you and I are readers. That's what really matters. All right, we'll talk to you again, man. I love guys like that. Like, that's why I'm such a big Ovince St. Preux fan. Like, I love those giant guys who throw those just baseball bat kicks.
When I talk to these guys that are, well, you know, when I have a little downtime, I'm just, you know,
yeah,
doing mathematics. I'm reading a book on how to like build a porch, or you know what I'm doing? I'm murking fools.
Yeah.
I'm going in VR. I got a jetpack on. I got double Uzis. Is that something I do? I mean, I was in the lobby before, and there's a little shitty kid in there, right? Sometimes you get little shitty kids, and he's like, yeah. And he was being like obnoxious. He's like cursing, saying bad words.
Yeah.
I go, hey, kid. I go, what if your mother heard you talk like that? He goes, what are you, a 50-year-old gamer? Get out of here. Go drink your prune juice. I go.
Good for him. He's right.
I go, you little fuck. And also they went into the game. I couldn't even do a comeback at that little fuck.
Yeah, he's right. Fucking Aunt Matt. What if your mother heard you using those words?
Yeah. Dude, he was dropping horrible. I go, that's not nice. I was saying it kind of jokingly.
Yeah.
And he attacked me. Oh, well, Jimmy, what a good show.
This was great. Armand Sarukian didn't make it. It happens. He must have had a technical issue. But we did have Mark Ratner and Carlos Ahlberg. And I'll talk to you Monday, Matt, before you actually go in on Tuesday.
Jimmy, did you like how how did I look with my shirt off?
You look good.
You think I looked a lot better in the past? I think I'm on
weight. No, you look good.
You did that I'm not asking for a compliment. I am.
Okay, good.
I am asking for a compliment. You laughed! You fucking Jimmy, let's plug something.
Let's plug this. Hold on. I just closed. I'm so stupid. Matus Gamrot. That's Sarukian Gamrot is the main event Saturday night. Let's get the proper time. It is, let me make sure here. Sorry guys. Prelim 7 PM. The main event 10 PM on ESPN, ESPN Plus. And again, our Carlos Ahlberg, who we just talked to against, Tefanchukwu is the main event of the undercard, the prelims. So great night of fights. And it's going to be hard to top this past Saturday. So let's see how great this week is.
Jimmy, listen, I'm having a great week at Cerebellum.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm having a good time. You know what I mean? Teaching my kids some jiu-jitsu. Middle of the night, my kid got sick, Jimmy, last night. Puked all over the place.
Oh, no.
Was I a little tired today?
That's what it didn't show.
It didn't show, did it? Did it?
Yeah.
I'm a little firecracker. Jimmy, listen, I will see you before I go into the knife. Don't you worry your little head. Don't worry about me.
No, I know you'll be okay. I'm glad you're doing it.
Okay. Jimmy, I will tell you, what do you want to plug?
Just, I got tonight, this Wednesday, I'm away. I'm out of town, obviously, tonight. But every Wednesday, next Wednesday, and then every Wednesday in July, Fat Black Pussycat in New York. And I have Denver coming up. I have Minneapolis coming up. I have Rochester coming up. And I now have, Rhode Island coming up. Go to JimNorton.com if you want to see me. If you don't, I get it.
Dude, I'm on Cameo, and that's it, dude. I'm just teaching my jiu-jitsu, having a good time. I will talk to you probably by the weekend, Jimmy.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.